Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Greetings, please. And not just any old greetings. Have some bloody season's greetings, why don't you? This week, I'm talking to the brilliantly funny Harriet Kemsley, who you've no doubt seen on 8 Out of 10 Cats or Roast Battle or on Harriet and Bobby, which is her own show, an amazing series on Comedy Central, which you should check out if you haven't seen, about her wedding to fellow comedian Bobby Mair. I love her to bits. I'm going to keep the admin very organised for this episode because sometimes lads and winners I bore myself, so let's bloody rattle through it, shall we? Please may you do any of the following things. One, rate, give a lush review and subscribe to this podcast. And you can tell every bastard you've ever met about it. Yes, please? That would be the greatest Christmas gift ever for me. Two, come and see us do a live hoovering. There are some sold out ones because life is sweet, but there are ones with tickets left in London on the 28th of January and on the 3rd of March and in Glasgow on the 30th of March. Tickets links are Googleable on the 28th of January. It's Unrestricted View. On the 3rd of March, it's at Vault Festival. And on the 30th, it's the Glasgow Comedy Festival. And the links to the tickets will be in the podcast notes on Acast, on the page for this episode and on my website, you know. Come. Three. Would you like to be my patron? Yes, you would. That's where you swap money from tiny to big for wicked prezzies, such as guest recipes or discount tickets to those live shows I was just bragging about. Come to it, come. Have a look. patreon.co.uk/thehooveringpod. Right, shall we have a podcast? I loved spending time with Harriet. We go all the way from the ridiculous to the heavy AF, as you'll hear. This is the last one you'll hear before Christmas, isn't it? So enjoy it. And Merry Christmas, you stink bat. Thanks for listening. Harriet and me met at her place in South London.
Brownies is like a slab of brownies.
Oh,
so,
that's so really big. Funny. That's a brick.
So I didn't even realise. I didn't look at how big they were. So
oh
big.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And they're vegan.
Yeah, apparently.
I shat myself about these mince pies because I was checking that the ingredients wouldn't kill you, and then you were like, yeah, that's fine as long as there's no meat in. And I've read this list of ingredients about 800 times.
But it's really
it would have to say
meat. I know,
meat,
but the thing
it?
Is, if they don't
it's in
say
the suet,
suitable
isn't it?
For vegetarians, this is my concern because I had one. Sunil again had some the other day, and then he said the problem is the suet thing or something.
Yeah, like, suet. But it doesn't say anything about suet at all.
Then if it doesn't say suitable for vegetarians, then that Have they snuck something in? That's the
I'll just eat it and we'll just say it.
Yes,
it will be okay, won't it? Do you think we'll instantly puke? When's the last time you had any meat?
Not since I was like a child.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. And is that an allergy or a preference?
No, that's a choice.
Yeah. What's dubious? So I've bought some Lottie Shaw's seriously good mince pies in the ye olde packaging from the posh deli near my house. But I would say that, and that's why I'm not going to put the link to the deli in my podcast notes, it's slightly less reliable, this posh deli, than like M&S or whatever.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll get something from there that's, you'd expect it to be really swanky and it's not. But look, well, I think
that's why these are probably fine, because they, if it's just like some small deli, they're not going to have people in to check if they're vegetarian. So if there's there's no thing on it, I'm sure it's fine.
There you go, my love.
Thank you very much.
Where did you get these swanky brownies from?
They're from, so I'm obsessed with chocolate Guinness cake. So I was trying to get some of that. It's like the love of my life.
Yeah.
But this place has opened up nearby and it's almost as good.
What's it called?
But not quite. It's
in
called
Brixton?
Estate Agent. No, it's just in Streatham. It's called Estate Agent. It must be called something else. It can't just be called Estate Agent.
I love your plate with a B on as well. I feel like I need to put my huge hand in this picture for scale so you can
it's a real
understand
slab.
How big the brownie is.
It's a real slab,
also, I'm happily hungry enough that I could sit next to it without eating it.
I know.
I'm going straight in for the brownie.
The problem is it'll be impossible for me to not eat all of it,
God,
even
it
though
really
it's
nice.
Much bigger than it should be.
No, I think it's probably the right size and all the others have just been... We didn't realise we were working with half portions. Oh, God, it's really nice.
It's got like a salted caramel, kind of a bit salted.
It's so fudgy in the middle.
That's very good.
That's so fit. It tastes unveganly nice. Oh, God. That's so good. I'm really worried about having put this mince pie next to it now.
I felt bad because
I was
like...
It feels cruel on the mince pie.
I know, but I was like, you're bringing mince pies, and I was like, I feel like I should cook something, but it's just not an option because I'm such a poor cook. And I was like,
You've got badass crockery. So you're not into cooking? Just shit at it?
Very shit at it.
Have you ever taken joy from it?
No. Well, nobody likes what I serve them. That's the problem. And so
really?
If I was to give someone something that they liked, then that would be better. We did it at school. Like we had home ec, but I wanted to try and make a soup. And it took so long that I had to stay behind during lunch. And then I was there for like 2.5 hours making this soup. And it was so stressful. And everyone else had gone to have lunch. And I was like, I don't. And then I just had this fucking soup afterwards that you had to take home with you. And it was just horrible.
Oh, what flavour was
it? It was like broccoli soup or something. It was just awful. And then my parents went away and my brother was like, I was like, we'll make some biscuits, that would be fun.
Yeah.
And they were so bad that he cried. He was so upset about the whole process and then he just cried. And now all that I cook, like I cook sometimes for Bobby, but he's never like excited about it because I just eat the same thing like every day.
Do you? What do you have every day?
It's very sad. I have like in the mornings I have like a porridge and then I put berries and stuff in it that you cook in the microwave.
Yum.
So it's like I cook it myself, but it's because I should probably explain I'm allergic to quite a lot of things.
Yeah.
And so that's why
this is the most careful I've been before any hoovering about what I bring.
Well, it's very strange because last week we went for lunch for my dad's birthday.
Yeah.
And they refused to serve me.
They just shat themselves that you'd done.
Just said no.
Whoa.
So we went to this Indian restaurant and they on the menu, because I booked it and looked on the website and everything and they didn't mention anything, and then you got there and it just said on the menu, we're so sorry, if you have a peanut allergy we will not be able to serve you. And I was like, oh, that can't be real, there must be some way around this. And so I said, oh, what's happening here? He was like, don't worry, I'll bring you out the list of the things you can eat. So all the foods they had and listed, and then the allergies at the top, everything had a cross with peanuts, every food, including rice and ice cream. They wouldn't serve me even rice, plain rice. They just wouldn't serve me.
What?
Yeah, so I just had to sit there. I had to sit there for 2 hours while my family ate. And
no.
Bobby had to smuggle me in a croissant.
No, they wouldn't serve
me anything. But it's so weird. I think everyone's just got like really panicked about it.
Is that because of that recent with Pret and the girl with the sesame?
Yeah, but I think
There was another one, wasn't there, with peanuts?
Yeah, there's been quite a few cases recently. But I think the problem is that some people, they're so hot, they're so terribly allergic that they can't be in the same room as it, which isn't what I have. Like, I'd have to eat quite a few. And so I can just say, no peanuts. If it's near them, it's fine.
Okay.
But they wouldn't take my word for it.
Because some, like, most flights and most schools now are completely peanut free, aren't they? Because there'll be one kid in the whole place who, if they're even in the same building as a peanut, can you imagine that life?
I know.
Well, probably you more than anyone.
No, but it's not, I don't have, like, I think it's so horrible, but I don't have that. Like, I'm allergic to many things, but it's fine if it's nearby.
Okay.
And so to just, like, constantly be kind of worried. And then we went somewhere else last week and they said, do you have any allergies? And I said, oh, yeah, nuts. And they said, oh, we can't serve you. The manager has to serve you. And then the manager had to come out and take my order. And they were like, we have to cook everything fresh. But then I hadn't mentioned that I'm allergic to raw vegetables. And so because they cooked it fresh, the vegetables weren't as well cooked. So I was like, this is just mad. Like, in the last week, everyone's gone crazy about it.
Yeah, just suddenly very protectionist.
Yeah, no one gave a shit before. Yeah, but the only thing they're worried about is that they're going to get sued. That's the only reason that they care. Yes, it's very strange,
Oh, God, do you think that people would be able to just trust that they can go, that hasn't got that or that in it?
Yeah.
We're aware enough of what we're making, and we're making it on the grounds. Especially
exactly.
Paying for somewhere where it's all, they've said it's all freshly cooked to order.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It makes you think that those places are going, you've just got this out of a packet. If you're scared of what's in it.
Yeah, it's so weird.
If you've honestly made this from ingredients that you started with the ingredients and then you ended with the dish, you'd know what was in it. You wouldn't be scared.
You'd snuck a few nuts in. Like, it would be clear because they would have been around. But
I always want to say anthropomorphic shock, and that's a different thing. That's where you're surprised.
You combine so many words. Because also anthrax you've thrown in there as well, which that has bad consequences as well. So,
isn't anthropomorphic shock, is that when you've changed into a different animal and you're surprised?
I wish I had that. I wish. That would be great. No, it's much more boring.
There's so many things that you've said that I want loads of detail on. I want to know exactly what this, like, exact same things that you eat every day are. I want to know about every allergy.
I feel like I'm the worst person for this podcast.
No,
I got
best.
So into listening to your podcast and I was like, everyone is such like foodies and they cook and they know stuff.
No.
And I'm like, I am, because the problem is I have all these allergies, but I'm vegetarian as well. And so it is quite limited about, I'm the worst person for a dinner party. And what I cook, people don't want it. My favourite thing at every restaurant, they discontinue.
What's
like
that?
Every place there used to be like one sandwich I could have in M&S and they stopped that. And then I had a sandwich at Costa and then that's the unpopular one no one wants.
No.
I'm just the kind of the one that
eats
the stuff nobody likes.
I'm in my tum.
So you can be in a building with a nut.
Yeah, that's
all nuts.
Fine. Yes, I'm not allergic to cashew. Did I say them right? Cashews.
Yeah. Cashews. Yeah.
Cashews. Because they're a different family. Apparently, they're not nuts. They're legumes.
Okay.
And so I'm not allergic to them. I think the most allergic I am is hazelnuts.
Right.
And peanuts, I'm quite allergic. But I can be in the same room. It'll be fine. It's just if I eat a few of them, there might be an issue. Yeah.
And raw vegetables, what happens there?
So I grew up on a farm, and I'm vegetarian, but I'm allergic to raw vegetables. The problem is that it's what grows on the outside of them. So there's a protein or something that grows on the outside. And so the more organic and fresh and the better they are for you, the worse they are for me.
Shit.
And so if something is heated or processed, it's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But the problem is my skin is allergic. So I went for a test and they really don't know much about it, but it is on the rise. And so they just cut up all these different bits of fruit and stuff that you bring in. They put them on your arm and then the size of your hive that just develops from the fruit on your skin is how allergic
fucking
you are.
Fucking hell.
Yeah,
I've had a spot, they call it a spot test, don't they?
Yeah.
I've had one of those before a medical trial. Oops. to see how allergic I was to airborne stuff, like the sort of things that would give people hay fever, like pollens and stuff like that from different trees.
Yeah.
Are you all right with those things?
No. No. No, very allergic to pollens and grass. I can't run in long grass. Very sad. Horses. I did try and ride a horse when I was younger, but I'd have to have an hour-long cold bath to get down the swelling afterwards. And
my legs would all swell up with the contact.
Yeah, my eyes. And so we realised that actually it really did bring out the joy of spending time with horses. And I have a cat. I am actually quite allergic to the cat, but you kind of build up a resistance. So if I go away for a while, then I'll come back and my eyes will stream for a few days. But if I'm around her and I hoover and stuff enough, which I don't do enough, but if I do that enough, then I won't be really allergic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Weird. Guess I was going to ask about having a pet. On that logic, like, if you were to just pop a hand on a horse... And then the next day, like, hand and wrist. And then next day, up to the elbow.
Yeah, then maybe it would be better, yeah.
Pet horse.
Yeah, yeah, I can have a pet horse in the house. we did go on holiday, though, and Bobby went horse just, you know, you can get those horses that walk up and down the beach. Someone pulled it, so he decided he really wanted to go on one of these horses.
Yeah.
He just went up and down the beach on this horse. But then I kind of gave him a hug afterwards, and then I was like, I was so allergic, and he was like, why would you do that if you're so allergic? And I just had to go and stand in the sea for ages, and he just watched me stood in the sea very, very still, just
because your skin swells.
Yeah.
Fucking
but
hell.
But it's just like hives in your eyes and stuff. So yeah, it's really dumb.
Oh, it's hard. That's hard.
It's not hard. It's just more awkward.
Right.
I think, yeah. It's more just like... you're the weird kid that can't go on the grass, so you have to sit on the
great excuse pavement. Not to do cross country. Exactly. Unless they made you do it like roadside.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a marathon, like a city marathon.
That was a problem because no one knew when I was younger what it was, and so I'd eat apples and stuff, and I'd be like, oh, it really hurts my mouth. It makes it really itchy. My mum would be like, shut up, Harriet, and just eat the apple. Like, stop complaining about it. Eat it up.
Oh, no.
And then,
so she thought you were just blagging. She thought I was just got, like, to get out of eating fruit
exactly,
and vegetables.
Exactly, yeah. And then I went into anaphylactic shop for some blackberries, so that showed her.
How do you teach me how to say it?
Anaphylactic. I'm not the best person to check with it, but I think that's how I've said it, and I've got it, so...
Not anthropomorphylactic.
No, that's different.
Anthraxic.
Yeah, that also a different thing.
Anaphylactic shock. Didn't you go into that on your, like, wedding day?
Yes. On the honeymoon, we got to the airport, finally. Like, it'd be very stressful to build up to the wedding. We were very busy because we were filming the show and writing, and then we had the wedding, and it was all very stressful. And finally, we got to the airport the day after the wedding to fly on our honeymoon, and they didn't have what I usually have at this restaurant at Gatwick.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't really paying attention.
What restaurant was it, and what do you normally have?
Oh, God, it was this place... I don't know how you describe it, like a kind of an Asian restaurant that combines a lot of different cultures.
Okay,
like
a fusion restaurant.
A fusion restaurant, yeah. So it was a fusion restaurant. I used to have this kind of curry thing that I knew I could have because it was all cooked. And then they didn't have it. And so I was just like, I wasn't paying attention. I was like, oh, I just have that.
Yeah.
And it had raw... So we're not sure what it was. It was either the nut... There might have been nuts in the sauce, which I should have checked. Or there was raw... It might have been a raw snap pea. we're not sure, but...
oh, God.
Yeah, but then I started to get allergic. And then I was a bit worried. And so then I went to go and get some Claritin, because sometimes it can just kind of go down. And then...
Is that just a standard antihistamine?
Yeah, and so that can often just get rid of it.
Like Pyrotin, like that?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Claritin's actually better because it doesn't make you drowsy.
I see.
But I think it depends on the person as well. So I got that, and then that wasn't working. And then I started to get a bit upset. And then Bobby kept saying, you're clearly not, something bad is happening. And I was like, it's fine. And then he was like, I think you need to use the EpiPen. And then I didn't want to make a fuss. So then I ran away from the restaurant. And then he had to chase me with the EpiPen through the restaurant. They'd called the paramedics and stuff, and then the paramedics came. But it was just so embarrassing because everyone is looking, and then everyone is involved in the thing. But then I think that there was quite a lot of anger that went into the stabbing of the EpiPen.
By him, into you. Yeah,
exactly.
Can you stab it in anywhere? Do you have to get it in your neck?
It's not the neck.
Not the neck.
Although maybe that would work. The thigh.
Okay.
Or the butt, I think. But generally the thigh.
Like where diabetics have to do it. Not in a vein, is it, basically?
It's just into, yeah, I don't know.
It's just into a fleshy bit.
A fleshy bit, yeah.
And then the epi goes in.
Yeah, then it goes in.
And what was happening is your throat constricting then.
Yeah, so you get hives and stuff, and it kind of swells, then your face swells, and it's only happened 3 times. And the time before with Bobby was from a walk to walk. You know,
you can get them.
Yeah, and we were drunk and on a night bus, and I was eating it, and then realised it was bad, and Bobby ran to get my EpiPen, and then he stabbed himself in the thumb. he didn't have to use it, and as he went to stab it, he stabbed into his own thumb, which was painful for him, but more concerning because I didn't have it yet.
Yeah.
But luckily the ambulance came, and then they really took the piss out of him for a long time, and he was like, it really hurts, you can see where it's gone through.
Is there any ill effects of having a go on an EpiPen if you weren't the one who needed it?
Yeah, well, I actually stabbed myself by accident with it once because it was in my rucksack. I'm quite careless. Is that the right word? I don't know what the right word is.
Hapless.
There we go. And the case had come off. And
I do that all the time with stuff in my bag.
Yeah.
I reckon I've got about half a bottle of my last. I'm not buying expensive perfume anymore.
Because everything just comes off. It's just soaked
into the fibres of the underbelly of my rucksack.
Yeah. And the wear and tear just being in the bag. And I was wearing this rucksack and the thing had come off and it stabbed me in the back. Then I had to go in. So I was working at this theatre and I had to go back and do the afternoon's work. I had like a twitch. Adrenaline in your system. But yeah, that's the only time.
Shit. I'm going to Google whether these mince pies are vegetarian.
It's so... Because someone once told me that they're not vegetarian, but I think they were lying because I think they used to be mince.
I think it has to say suet.
Yes.
Well, it is. I know from having made mince pies that the way to make them vegetarian is to buy vegetarian suet.
Okay.
But I do feel like it's worth checking. So what are they called? Lottie's?
Lottie Shaw's The Authentic Taste of Christmas.
Allergens. Cannot guarantee nut-free.
That's fine, yeah. Because then it's the same thing if they won't have put a whole nut in.
Contains wheat flour. It's not giving you any more than that. There's absolutely nothing in there that says cow's fat.
It's so weird,
product
isn't
inquiry.
It?
Oh, I can't. I'm not emailing them. Am I?
Am I?
I'm really tempted to ring them.
Am I?
Hello there. I just wanted to... I've got a quick inquiry about your mince pies. Hello, are they vegetarian or vegan? Both. Lush. Thank you so much. Cheers, bye. What was lovely about that was it were an actual Yorkshire woman as well. She went, you know what, love, they are.
She probably made them herself.
I know, and Harriet, I think I've just spoken to Lottie Shaw.
Spoke to the Lottie Shaw.
What
good customer service they have. That's like the first thing.
Yeah. Hello, darling. Yep. One of 8 customers we've ever had. Right, I'm going in then for a bite of mince pie.
I do think, why don't they just put it on the packet? Mm. Okay, great. We can enjoy this.
Oh, it is pretty yummy. First mince pie of the year. Tastes of Christmassy.
That's really nice.
Mmm. Yay. This is a nice sugary time. The daytime gig I did earlier, there was the smell of mulled wine. And I felt really Christmassy because of how much I'd wanted to drink in the daytime.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a sign that earlier you start drinking, the closer you are to Christmas.
To Christmas Day.
Absolutely.
When you can start from your first breath.
Mmm. I had an urge to buy some Baileys or something.
Ooh. Like, have you tried the vegan Baileys?
Well, I think it's nuts. I think it's
that's shit, why it's almonds.
Vegan, yeah. But yeah, I keep trying to be vegan, but it just they're so limited.
Why do you want to be? For the planet or because for animal love or both?
The animals. Well, because I became a vegetarian when I was 8, my pet chicken died. And I suddenly made the connection. So every time I'd eat
what
chicken...
What was your chicken called?
Her name was Whiskey.
Whiskey.
She was a very sweet chicken.
And is this a chicken that you'd often carry around that you told me about?
Yeah, you could take her around. Yeah, my sister had chickens. What, she took one on the seesaw and it pecked her in the face. You shouldn't do that. they don't like
chickens
it.
Chickens don't like it on the seesaw.
Don't like it. Yeah, and so suddenly I just made the connection because I'd always eaten meat, and like my family, they're farmers, and so there was like, it was never a question that you just eat meat. It was never discussed, and I just, and so every time I'd eat chicken, I'd picture a chicken. I couldn't do it, and then it became other animals. So I'd go to eat, what's a cow?
Burger.
I'd go to eat a burger, and I'd picture a sad cow that would just be looking at me, just sadly, like, why? What are you doing? I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. What I've really enjoyed, I've just breathed my mince pie, was that you wouldn't just picture a cow. It would be sad.
It would be really sad, yeah.
What, like, welling up?
Teary-eyed, yeah. Looking up for you.
Cows are quite sort of wet-eyed, aren't they, generally, as
they
a creature?
They are, yes. But it would be looking up, like, as if, like, do you know what I mean? Like a head tilt? Like, it's looking sideways at you, like, how could you?
Yeah.
Also, I saw a video recently where cows are like dogs, that you can throw a stick and it will go and get it. They're like big dogs.
When you say a video, do you mean a cartoon?
They only have really discovered allergies in the last 20 years.
Isn't that bananas? But so it's one of those things where you're like, has everybody been dying from this?
Well, that's
and no one's cared.
Yeah.
Or is it like the stuff with nuts? Where I thought that they quite conclusively decided now that it was a decade or two of telling people not to give babies nuts that's led to quite widespread nut allergies.
Yeah, because you're actually meant to give them a little bit.
What's it called? What's it called where you... Oh, God, microdose.
That's it, yeah.
Microdosing.
Oh, isn't that with acid?
I think it is.
It's what you do in Silicon Valley. Like, you have little bits of acid.
Well, I think you can do it with drugs, but I think you're supposed to do it with things that are highly...
Less fun.
Allergic. Totally. Yeah. So I, in Edinburgh, went for... Because I flirt with veganism, but I still eat fish and sometimes eggs.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing Edinburgh this year, but I went up for the first and the last weekends. And... with some friends who were doing Edinburgh, we went to a very posh fish restaurant, and there were four of us. Three of us love oysters, and one hadn't tried them before. First try them, she was like, oh my God. I think when you're with three people who are like, oh, this is amazing, as well, she was like, these are delicious. And between four of us, we had a plate of six, and we got another plate of six. So we had, three or four oysters each. I'm terrible at the maths. We had three or four oysters each. Delicious, had our mains, whatever. Then the friend who'd never tried them before, up all night. All night. And into about half the next day. And I was sharing an Airbnb with her, and she looked grey. She looked like a dead grey child in the morning, where she'd been puking and shitting all night.
Because she was allergic to the oyster.
Well, probably what's happened now is that she has ruined it. she probably can't have oysters now.
We
probably brought it on because what I now, I can't remember who told me this, someone clever and like doctory. Probably the same person who made a documentary about that cow with a stick. But he told me that you're meant to microdose. If you've never had something that so many people are super allergic to shellfish. If you've never had a particular shellfish before, just have a bite. Like, try one. Don't have four. Or six, or whatever, you know, we ended
up...
She went in too hard. And now, probably, she'll have a physical reaction whenever she has them. And that happens as well if you have an off one. If you get ill from shellfish once, you're very lucky if you can ever have them again without your body just remembering and your antibodies going, fuck it, no, not worth the risk.
Oh,
isn't that
God. Yes.
Terrifying?
The body is, like, prepared for
very
something.
Clever, really.
But also, come on, it's the 21st century.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. I think our lifetime would probably quite safe saying that now.
We were the 20th century, and then now we're the... Yeah. I just panicked. You think It used to be the 20th century, now it's the 21st century. It's Christmas. We
checked out.
Say scrum-diddly-umptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrum-diddly-umptious.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So have you got an advent calendar?
No, I haven't. The problem is, if I have chocolate in the morning, I'll eat it all day.
You have a chocolate day.
I'll just eat, like, I can't stop thinking about it. because I am trying to be vegan, so I only have, like, kind of coconut milk at home, and I only have, like, that in my coffee when I can, and so I'm not having milk chocolate at the moment, like, generally, because I just, because I just eat too much, and I'm like, if I can just stop that, then, so this is Bobby's advent calendar, but,
my husband's advent calendar.
Yeah, it's my husband. My mum has got him one every year, and every year he's never made it to December without eating the whole advent calendar, which...
He doesn't even get to the right month.
He doesn't even get to the month. She'll give it to
me. So you were telling me about this before we started recording.
Yes.
And I was like, I flashed with rage, real rage.
Of course.
You must abide the rules.
Of course, there's rules.
But to even...
Yes.
And perhaps if you're going to break the rules, break them that hard and fast. Don't even get to December.
It's disrespectful though, you know. And this year, it's a big year because she had a stern talking with him.
Yeah.
And she said, Bobby, you've got just one a day. You've got to learn. And now he's
had one a day.
He's had one a day, yeah.
Wow. And are there 2 13s? I'm reading it wrong. No, 13 or 15. It looks like you get lush big chocolates in there as well. Do you get a little teddy every day?
I think he gets a little teddy.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, it's pretty cute.
I mean, that is one way to help someone who can't manage to restrain themselves to the one a day, is to get them where the one that you get each day is as big as a small chocolate bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Day.
Yeah.
That will be helping. Yeah. I still want to know what you eat every day if it's the same every day.
Okay,
porridge.
Yeah.
What, with coconut milk?
It's with water and frozen berries.
Right.
Then some seeds, and I heat it up in the microwave.
Yeah. Do you put the frozen berries in with the raw oats and the water?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, and then because I used to do it in the saucepan, and then the microwave, only one bowl. So
one bowl.
It really it streamlines my day. I do that. It goes.
Do you have any honey or anything with that? Because that's quite a sharp brekkie.
Yes, I am. Well, there's a bit of. I have a bit of kind of sweetener, like steviol, a spoonful of that kind of thing in it. So that's for breakfast. And then, I mean, this is often interspersed by many snacks.
Great.
I find it very hard to go for a long period without a snack.
Great.
But then for lunch, I'll have something like eggs on toast, something like that, or a soup maybe.
Yeah.
And then for dinner, almost every day when I'm on my own, I'll have some form of rice with a corn thing with vegetables.
Lush. Rice with a corn thing with vegetables.
It's so, and the other, I ate it last night and I was like, what am I going to say to Jess? Like, this is just
I love it!
It's so sad.
I love it. No, but what it does to everyone, and also I think it's actually, I don't know, it feels like, it's only a very, I think it's more on me actually for not, I need to diversify the pool of people I'm talking to, because I suppose instinctively when your podcast is about eating, you gravitate towards and are asked by people who are foodie and like into cooking and new, you know, what's experimental when it comes to eating.
Yeah.
But actually, I think there's a massive, massive, probably majority still of people in the UK anyway, who do have a lot more routine than the average person I've spoken to so far. So I think you're far more representative than you know, and it's my podcast's fault, not yours. In terms of like proteiny vegan dinners, I flip between two. If I have a patch of... I love having patches where I have the same thing quite regularly.
Yeah. I think it's comfort. I think because our jobs are all over, actually good to have... This is a normal thing, because often when you're away for a few days or something somewhere, there's like, I'm just eating absolute shit, and so to have some vegetables and stuff is good.
There's a calm, there's something calming, there's something good, nourishing for the soul about some predictability in your life, culinarily. Yeah. I really think it, maybe that is because our jobs are so, our days are so different from one to the next. You're about to go to Costa Rica.
Yes.
And so do you get nervous about travelling when you know all these restrictions? Because of allergies?
No, things have got so much better.
Really?
Yeah, it was a little bit difficult when we went to Thailand because a lot of it was cooked in nut oil.
Yeah.
And so that was difficult. But I think it's fine. And I'm just so used to just eating rice that it doesn't even faze me. You know when people are like, oh, we'll cook you something. I'm like, I don't mind, I'll just have rice. Yeah. It's fine, but I think because you know you're saying about like slowing down with food, I think I need to do that, because I think one of the problems is I got so used to kind of eating quickly because it used to like hurt my mouth and stuff before, I don't know, and so I think that I need to, like my friend, she eats so slowly, like when we were at school she'd eat so slowly that I'd leave her, like because it would be like so boring, but actually, it's a really good, healthy thing to enjoy it and savour it.
Healthy. All the people the few people I know who eat very slowly, I look at them and think, you're going to live till you're 200.
Yeah,
you're really wiry and you're really smart. They're all really clever.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I just don't know how to live any of my life like that. I do try, but not hard.
But yeah.
I can't pretend that I try hard. I tried it with my lunch today and I was like, have a bite. Try and do 50 chews or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I'm always driving. I mean, I'm already busy. It's not like... But I find it... You know, like, mindful eating. I think you're meant to sit with no distractions. You're not meant to have a telly on. You're not meant to have a podcast. You're not meant to be driving.
Oh, God.
You're not meant to be having a conversation even, really. You're meant to be sat with the meal, appreciating each mouthful. That, I find, sat in silence with a meal is the hardest time to take ages over it.
Absolutely. Because I think... One of the things that I need is I like things going like, this sounds really dodgy, but like near my mouth, do you know what I mean? Like smoking, so I used to smoke a lot, and drinking, like I drink far too many drinks because I just always want to be doing something. If I'm driving, I like to have snacks, I have a lot of sweets and stuff, because it's really hard just to sit still and not...
It's really hard to take that
time. Really hard.
And I'd say often for me, just physically too hard. And I keep doing this thing. I've really been noticing it this week because I've hung out with my friend, one friend at the moment who eats really, really slowly. It's because this week I've been like trying to eat slowly and then be like, oh, ate it quick again. And then instead...
I finished it.
Like with every item and even every mouthful, after it, stopping and going... Just stop and think about it now and think about what it did taste like now. And like, it's too late. Like, you've eaten it quickly. What does it feel like to feel full? Very nice. That's nice. And like, it's too late.
It's
you can't eat mindfully. You can't do it after you've done all the swallowing.
Yeah. Also, I'm never full. Like, I could eat constantly.
Yeah.
And like, I can't not think about something. Like, I got Bobby a brownie the other day and brought it back and he was like, oh, I'm not hungry right now, just leave it for a couple of hours. And I was like, knowing the brownie was in the house, I was like, I went in another room, but then after a couple of hours I was like, have you eaten the brownie yet? And he was like, no, I'll have a bite. And then I was like, if you don't eat it, I'm gonna eat it. And so then I had a bite and then I came back and so then I ate some more because I was like, I can't have it in the house.
I'm just going to think about it. I'm
just going to think about it,
I did that at Mikey the other day. I bought some fresh bread and then there was like a whole end left. And And I was like, you can have that later, like, as your late night snack, as he always has one. And I was out working. And then when I got home, I saw that he hadn't had it. And I was like, I want to dip that in some hummus. Have you got plans for that? And he went, I certainly have. And I was like, fucking fuck. And then the next morning, it was still there. And I was like, I thought you said you had plans for it. And he was like, yep, I certainly have. And I was like, it's gone
future
quite...
Future plans?
It's gone all hard now.
You ruined it.
I could have had that, but it was still squidgy, yeah. Dolloped in hummus.
Absolutely. No, I just, because the thing is, I am trying to enjoy it more. And I think that's one of the things why I'm trying to, like, I am trying to cut down on chocolate and stuff, because that's stuff that I do not ever eat mindfully.
I think actually the stuff with sugar in it's the hardest, because it sets off a reward part of our brain that makes us I'm very aware of it at the moment, because I'm watching a 3-year-old who's got no social inhibitions. So sugar gives you, I swear it gives you a type of madness.
Yeah.
And all the things that our body's tricked briefly into thinking is sugar as well, like sweetness and stuff, I think do all the same thing. But he's like a golem with a ring about it. He's like, he'll stop in the middle of breakfast and go, and will there be a pudding for breakfast? Like, and then, and he, there's a cupboard with treats in, because I don't want him to be that kid that was never allowed treats.
Yeah,
so he's obsessed
.
And thinks it's some filthy secret that he's got a binge on when no one's looking, or that it's some kind of reward. Yeah. I want to try and be really liberal with this stuff without getting an obese kid. It's really hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he, we're at a point now where he will get a chair and a stool so that he can get up to this cupboard. But at this stage, it's still thick enough that he shouts to let you know what he's about to do once he's at the cupboard.
Oh, he's
he'll
like,
be like,
he's like,
I'm about
Home Alone.
Do you know? Yes. It's exactly like when I picked him up once from gymnastics and I went, what did you do at gymnastics today? And really proud, he went, I didn't listen.
Well, now I'm going to have to tell you off about not listening.
Yeah.
So
don't brag about that, you fucking moron. But it would do the same thing. Be like, I've just gone and got this a bag of Haribos. And you're like, well, you don't do that, do you? Don't just help yourself. But he will be that kind of like, can I have some sugar? Can I have some sugar? Can I have some sugar? It's constant. Can I can I have that? And he'll take one mouthful, and then after this, can I have another one? And then he'll be like, I'm going to have... And sometimes he's, when even in his play, I can hear him say, and then I'm going to have 4 cakes. And I made myself feel sick from 2 many cakes. And it's, God. I think we'd all talk like that if we hadn't been socially trained out of it, or socially trained to think there's shame in that.
But that's good, because that's what, when I was young, like I was actually much smarter than a 3-year-old when I was a teenager, because I got very good at sneaking biscuits and stuff. Right. So like they'd always be in the house, but it was like a military operation. Like I would sneak down to the kitchen, I would hide them up my sleeves, and I would have them in my pockets and or like up my top, and then I'd just like that feeling when you just run away with the biscuits. Then I'd run into someone and I'd just have to talk to them and pretend that you don't have a load of biscuits up your sleeves. It's so weird. And then I'd go in my room and just eat them. But my mum has this amazing thing where she can kind of eat half a biscuit and just leave it. And
yeah.
I don't have that. So once I've had one, I have to get more and more until I'm burying them up my sleeves.
But you were allowed biscuits as a kid.
Yeah, but one or two biscuits.
Right.
Yeah. But I can't. That's impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the joy goes. The joy is you have one biscuit and you love it. I haven't reached that place yet.
I love to think that I can train myself into it, but it's so... Sometimes there is joy in going, it doesn't matter if I smash the whole bag.
Yeah.
I'm going, if I smash a whole box...
Then you feel bad.
Yeah, you feel
like
disgusting.
You feel
physically
sick,
disgusting,
you feel tired, you feel sick.
Yeah.
And so then it's not good for you. Like, it's not... That's not a good thing to do. It's so confusing.
It's so confusing. Why does your brain ask you to do something that's going to... I mean, literally damage your body.
Yeah.
And then your body's going, oh, you hurt me.
You really hurt me.
You hurt me, I'd like to puke.
Yeah. A lot of it was, like, to do with... Especially when I was younger, it was to do with my feelings and stuff.
Yeah.
And so it was a way of, like... I guess eating so much that then you're so full, and then that's the reason that you feel bad.
Well, in terms of like as someone who dabbles in binge eating officially,
officially, I've got the certificate.
I didn't realise I did, and then my therapist gave me lots of literature about binge eating disorder, and it was a very traumatic couple of weeks coming to terms with that. And the therapist before had given me a book called "Fat as a Feminist Issue," which is an amazing book. But I read it, and every time I read it in public, I had to tuck my hands over the cover because the full title of the original. She gave me a copy, one of the original few editions, and it came out in the 70s, I think, originally. But it's "Fat as a Feminist Issue." A handbook for overeaters. So I should be like, my just cover that up, thank you very much. Fuck off. Like, you don't want, like, so or self-help guide for people for fat greedy pigs. Like, might as well call it that. Like, oh, for fuck's sake. But anyway, what I was going to say was, I think it's that emotion thing really leads to the point where you're really not thinking and you're very conscious that you're just filling a void is an emotional. It's a number of emotions in the same way that you'd get shit-faced.
Yeah.
Or take a drug to do the same thing. It's just to censor the extremity of feeling that you'd have were you someone who had entirely clean living. And I think it's a very honest, forgivable part of our humanity not to want to experience reality as it's happening. And even the people I know who are recovered addicts to a drug that's more morally illicit than eating, people just don't talk about eating in the realms of booze and drugs, and they should.
Yeah.
I mean, I absolutely think they should. Yeah. For the vast majority of people, apart from the freaks like your mum and my mum and our friend each that eat slowly. But I'd say there's so many more people who have a complicated relationship with it than that don't. And the people I know that don't will have a more complicated relationship with something else.
Yeah.
Smoking or drinking or whatever.
But do you think it will get better? Like, when we stop kind of saying that fat is bad and that, like, we stop shaming people for being fat, that then it won't be a thing where... Because I think sometimes the reason that I've kind of eaten a lot is because I feel ashamed about something, like, just in my life. And so then you eat a lot because then you have a reason to feel ashamed because eating a lot is bad because then you're greedy. And so if we stop seeing that as bad, then it won't be a thing so more. There won't be all these complex things tied in with it.
You can only hope, can't you? I mean, it follows logically. You would have to hope that, wouldn't you? And I think a big part of, like, I also hope that with that, hopefully, you know, eventually, perhaps not with our generation, but at least by the next, the eventual death of fat shaming. Oh, there's so many joyous things that will come with that. But I also, you'd also think that perhaps the death of diet culture and all the damage that's done in terms of connecting people to the disconnect that people have from their body hunger, that thing where that I am still striving towards, and I imagine probably will be gently for the rest of my life, where you go, am I hungry? Am I full? Just being able to answer those questions. Is my body hungry? And is my body full? And that's the thing I think that's much easier to do if you can eat and drink slowly.
Yeah, for sure.
It's so hard. I think when your life is very busy and stressful, it's really, really hard. Even when that you make that a really high priority. But I agree, if you go, well, what is the outcome? One of the things I've loved about, I haven't talked about this book for ages, actually, but that Fat is a Feminist Issue book.
I want to read it now.
Yes, it's brilliant. Well, I'd love you to read it and then let's have a conversation, because I know two other women who've read it that I know. I'm sure I know loads of other women who've read it, but and it's irrelevant that women, really. But what's fascinating is that the three of us have taken completely different things from it. And it's the same book. It's exactly the same book. I suppose, like anything, you come to it with whatever your baggage is.
So and then you like, take whatever it is you need.
Yeah, exactly. And what I took from it and loved was a really unpatronising point, which is exactly the one you made earlier, in a way, which is when you do overeat, you know that will make you fat. And it's like you say, it's almost... I think the way that the book put it, or that I read it when I read the book in my 20s, was you're looking for an excuse for failure.
Yeah.
In some other shape or form of your life, you know that if you overeat and put on weight, you'll feel worse and have an excuse for it. It's all like, it's very conscious what you're doing, even if you know exactly what you're doing when you eat like that, like when you're binging. But I don't know. And now I think it's a lot more complex than that. And I think if you're just doing it because it's the one of the least harmful ways, you can not feel the emotions that are there.
Yeah. And it's a private thing. It's a thing that, like, because I think there can be so much shame attached with kind of eating too much in public or people seeing you as greedy. Like, it's terrible. Like, it's the way that if you think, oh, you're like, if you're overweight, you're a drain on the NHS. And so by that extent, eating too much means that you're a selfish, bad person that eats too much.
Yeah.
And so then you'd kind of eat in secret and then you're like, I am a bad person. I'm exactly what everyone thinks I am. Like, fucked up.
It is totally fucked up. And actually a sort of a hatred of and repulsion of fatness is not going to stop people. It's not going to make people eat in a way that's good for them.
It leads to more
cycle. Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Exactly. It leads to more self-hatred, which leads to more not being able to face. Who wants to face the fucking hatred of themselves? So you numb it by eating more, or you go into the realms of the ownership of it to the extent where you're like, well, oh God, I find this so hard to articulate in a way where I feel like I have to be so careful.
I think the thing is, it's just about being happy with what you are. And so whatever you are, if you're happy with it, and it's everyone else chiming in with opinions, like that's where the shame comes from.
Absolutely.
It's everyone saying you're doing something wrong. And then if you're just responding, like if someone can eat a pack of biscuits and feel great afterwards, fucking brilliant. Great. Like, lucky you, you live your life. Like, I then will feel so like tired.
Yeah.
But also the thing upon top of that is the shame with it.
Yeah,
like that's a separate issue. Like that's a thing based on fat shaming and the issues in society that comes on it, and that makes you want to eat the biscuits even more and be more tired and be more numb.
Yeah, totally. I've got this whole fucking podcast about eating, and I still would hate to. Occasionally I get a very well-meant tweet or message saying, I'd love to know what you're eating right now, and I panic.
Yeah.
I get a little, I can feel a little palpitation. I think, I don't want to tell you what I'm eating now, because what if, and it's not necessarily that what I've eaten now will have been disgusting. Normally it will have been loads.
Yeah.
And I don't mind, you know, I'm happy to say no, I don't mind. I think there's only so many times I can fucking say on this thing, I eat loads, I eat fucking loads. But there's something about in the moment having to declare, then I had that, and then I had that, and then I had that, and then I had another one of them, and then I had that. It's like, the part of the work that I need to do is be able to go, and I loved every mouthful of it, and I stopped for an hour, and then I ponced two fags off a friend, and then we sank a bottle of wine, and then I came back to it, and then we picked at it until taking all of the shame out of that completely is the only way, I think. And I keep not articulating it well, but I think as well a huge, huge part of it is a huge part of ending fat shame is also has to come hand in hand with the death of diet culture.
Yeah.
If we live in a world where we're told, probably especially as women, but probably everybody is told 50 times a day through advertising, if not a conversation with a colleague or something, and probably women 100 times a day. No exaggeration, especially about to kick in more in January again. There are May and January, I would say, the peak times. If we are told in 100 different ways, especially with online advertising now, you know, and targeted ads, that we should change our body size to a smaller one, it's a madness. And that, I think that's, that leads people to eat in a disordered... I mean, it definitely leads people to eat in a disordered way. Because you're constantly being told... If you're not eating fuck all, you're failing.
Yeah.
If you're not eating less than you want, you are in some way failing. And that's so destructive. It's so destructive and it's so unhealthy. And in the same way, then, you'll get... Just no diets work. No, people don't... You don't physiologically change your body. You don't... You might for a year, tops...
Yeah.
And fuck, it will be a miserable year. I think there are a bit of endorphins in the first few weeks, sometimes months of weight loss. Oh God, I know so many people who've had just entire lives of losing stones and stones and stones and then putting them back on and losing them again and then putting them back on. Sometimes there'll be a decade. But it's just like, we have to, this can't be, what are we doing as a species?
It's so much space in the yes. brain, like it takes up so much space, and it's a trick. Like that's what it is, because it keeps bollocks. You busy thinking about all this shit about what you look like and how much you yeah. weigh, and that's important.
Yeah.
Is it like, I used to have this joke about how, I'm not going to tell you the joke, but
yeah, do
about,
it, do it.
No, well, about how I, like, I wouldn't want to become, like I'd be really worried if I became a missing person, because then they'd check CCTV and find out what I bought in the supermarket the night before, and it would be like a multi-pack of donuts or something, and then like they'll just find the empty box, and it's like that fear, like it's not about going missing, the fear is like, oh my god, they'll know that I binge ate 6 donuts last
yeah,
night
yeah, yeah, yeah,
they'll
yeah.
be on the front covers or the newspapers, like she's missing after she binged 6 donuts.
I swear yeah. to god I think like that. It's pathetic, isn't it? I'd be like, oh yeah. I'm not, if I died in a car crash, I was thinking this, right, if I died in my car, isn't it awful that I'd be as worried about the future of my now motherless child as I would about the fact that they might find some empty McDonald's wrappings underneath the passenger seat.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, all the wrappers, all the, yeah. the multi-pack of the sweets and
see that
stuff,
there were 3
the
hash browns,
yeah. Yeah, it's mad, like, because that living in this secret life, like, that's what it is, because you
but everybody's doing it.
Exactly, everybody's in their cars eating their food.
We've all got the same fucking secret, yeah. guys.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such bullshit. Christmas Day is looming. And a real life Scrooge has happened. Oh no.
Oh no.
Scrooge is ripping people off and stuff. He's probably whichever cunt owns cash converters or one of those pawn shops that's rebranded to seem less sinister.
Oh, I hate him.
Anyway, he's going to ruin loads of people's Christmas by ripping them off in 100 ways. But then he gets visited by those 3 ghosts. But this time it doesn't quite work. He needs one more thing. You. And weirdly, it does have to be you. Have to climb up the biggest Christmas tree in the world. It's 70 feet tall. And when you get to the top, do 800 star jumps, somehow balancing like the best ever living Christmas tree star of all time. Sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero, Howitt. You've saved Christmas. This
oh, wow.
Scrooge has reformed, and he's decided to, he's given everything in the cash converters back to his people, and with all of his profits that he's built up over the centuries, he's going to alleviate modern poverty. And you've done that, and so your reward is the feast of your dreams. And you've done all this like sweating and like graft, so you're hungry, but like you're in that post-exercise, that lovely feeling where you're not still filthy or whatever, that you're ready for this.
Okay.
And so I'd like to know what you'd like to eat, what you'd like to drink, who with, and if there's a where, then where. And I don't want you to think about whether any of these things are feasible or possible or healthy or ethically right or anything. If reality had no barriers.
Okay. I found that question hard because I'm so focused on all the build-up to it.
Oh,
I was
sorry,
like, this has to
yeah.
have something to do with Scrooge.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
No.
But it was a journey and I really yeah. liked that. And it's actually just about the meal.
Yeah, I really just... I mean, it's what would your last meal be, but in much nicer...
No,
just
it's a really
it's a jollier
journey.
Version.
I just got so into the journey and I was like, I'm up a Christmas tree, I'm doing a star job. okay, so... right, so I like a breakfast, I'll do like a brunch, like poached eggs.
Oh,
I really like poached eggs
yes.
on thick, like granary bread, no nuts. But it doesn't often have nuts, with salted butter... and ketchup, and cooked spinach, and on the side, the place near here has this restaurant Hood. It's really nice in Streatham, and they do pancakes, and they have maple salted butter. So it's maple syrup in salt with butter.
Oh.
Like, the butter is the maple. Like, I think I'm overcomplicating it, but it's a slab of butter that's got maple in it, and
nice.
It's so good. And so I'll have one pancake. So if I have 3 pancakes, then I'll feel sick. But if I have it with the eggs and the toast, it's perfect. Then I feel
heaven,
good.
Heaven.
So I'll have that. Maybe a vegan chocolate ice cream milkshake that would taste exactly like a normal milkshake and wouldn't taste at all weird.
Oh,
so it tastes just like a normal milkshake, but I wouldn't feel bad at all.
No.
Like, you know, those ones that they have in the diner.
I haven't tried those. That
really,
chain.
Yeah, and it's
kind of
the American ones where they come in the thing, and so there's loads of it, and it just feels really good. And chocolate Guinness cake.
Yes, got to have one of those.
It's so good. I can't I've got into physical fights about it before. It's such a good cake. It's so much better than other cakes.
It's a great cake, isn't it?
Great.
Someone made one at your birthday, didn't they?
Evelyn Mock made one because I love it so much, and it's so good. She did. Oh my god, it's the best present ever.
Oh.
And then to finish it off, a scoop of Cherry Garcia ice cream, which is another thing that I love that they've now discontinued because it's not popular with everybody, but it's got dark chocolate chunks in it and cherry bits, and they only do it at cinemas. So you can only get it at the cinema now. They don't have it in a
Is it Ben and Jerry's?
It's Ben and Jerry's, yeah.
And who would you have there with you for this feast, if anyone?
Well, I think the whole point is that I shouldn't have it alone because that would be, I'd be making that into a shameful thing. You can eat on your own plate. Yeah. It's just, you just do it slowly and enjoy it. I guess everyone you love there. Everyone you love, but no one that you don't love.
Fine.
Nobody would know about it that I would feel bad about not inviting.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you don't have that weird thing you think, oh, should I invite them or not? Like, I feel bad. They didn't know about it anyway. Yeah.
Can't come away from this with any bad feelings.
Yeah. I'm just really happy. Yeah.
Magic.
Do I die after this?
No.
No. Oh, this is just a celebration.
Why would you die after this?
I don't know, because I just thought it was like a last meal.
No. I mean, it's just... I want it to be a happy version of that question.
Yeah.
No one dies.
Yes, you've done something great.
Having some celebratory food as part of the celebrations for the fact that you've saved, you've saved Christmas, really, for a lot of people.
Did Scrooge die?
Nope, he just reformed.
Okay,
he
great.
Rehabilitated.
Great. Okay, brilliant.
And it was your star jumps upon that tree that did it. The three ghosts were like,
I need some booze in there as well, don't I? Yeah. There'll be some alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah.
Favourite booze?
Maybe a cocktail and like a fizzy thing, like a Bucks Fizz or like a champagne, something like that. Yeah.
Ooh,
because
I've done
something good. Yeah.
Oh, have you got favourite champagne?
I don't know enough about.
No, you like them all.
I just don't know what the difference. Or Prosecco. I can't tell the difference at all. Something sparkly. Yeah.
Bubbles.
What did you know? What the difference?
I think Prosecco is much sweeter, and champagne just has to come from
champagne. Champagne is really good, yeah, but I don't know the different brands.
Bollinger's nice.
Okay, I have a glass of Bollinger. Great. Thank you.
Delicious. You have to go and see Harriet's show on tour next year. Early 2019 it starts. Details and tickets are all on her website, harrietkemsley.com. And follow the knockers off her brilliant and funny, excellent self on all the socials. She's there at Harriet Kemsley. Please tell everyone you come into any kind of virtual or real contact with about the Miss Smelly podcast, please. It's on all the socials at The Hoovering Pod. Subscribe to it if you haven't. Follow me if you want. At Jessica Foster Q. You can email me, see when my gigs are, see when the live Hoovering shows are, all on my website, jessicafosterq.com. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, especially happy Christmas, Hoovering.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.